Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, November 26th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
global stocks sell off hard as concerns surface about a COVID variant in South Africa.
Oil tumbles and bond yields fall as countries cut off travel to the region.
Retail is in focus as U.S. Thanksgiving spending sets a record.
And supply chain issues threaten to rear their ugly head on Black Friday.
It felt like old times as the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade returned. Plus, a bipartisan group of U.S. lawmakers make a surprise visit to Taiwan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Scott Seidenberg. A recap of Thanksgiving football plus the Knicks and Rangers in action today. I'll have that and more coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Global stocks are plunging this morning in response to a new COVID strain. Treasury yields are tumbling. Oil is falling sharply. It is coming up to 501 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 85 points. Dow futures down 786, a drop of 2.2%. NASDAQ futures are down 199. The DAX in Germany is lower by 2.8%. The CAC in Paris down 3.4%. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index closed 1.8% lower. The 10-year Treasury is up 1 1/32. The yield 1.52%. Yield on the 2-year 0.51. NYMEX crude plunging 6.5%, down $5.08 at $73.32 a barrel. COMEX gold is higher, up 1.4%, up $24 at $18.11 even an ounce. John.
Well, Nathan, let's get details on that new coronavirus variant identified in South Africa. There are concerns the strain could spark fresh outbreaks. Scientists say it carries a high number of mutations in its spike protein. That's the protein targeted by vaccines. Let's get more from Bloomberg Intelligence senior pharmaceutical analyst Sam Fazzelli.
There's thousands of these mutated viruses everywhere. But then when they start forming a cluster, that's when you start worrying. And that really got going a couple of days ago. And of course, it will take at least a week or two to just simply know whether this virus is more resistant to the immunity induced by vaccines or a prior infection. And that's what I'm hoping to see in the next few days. We'll hear more data out of South Africa about how widespread this virus has become, which will tell us about its transmissibility.
Bloomberg intelligence analyst Sam Fazzelli says researchers do not yet know if this new COVID variant is more transmissible than others.
Well, here's what we do know, John. South Africa has detected about 100 cases linked to this new strain. Hong Kong has confirmed two. But again, what we don't know yet is how deadly this new variant is. Michelle Cortez covers health and science for Bloomberg News.
We are still learning almost everything about this variant. The one thing that's clear at this point is that it is spreading at an exponential rate. We knew about 10 cases yesterday, 100 cases today, and now reports coming out of South Africa suggest that up to 90% of sequenced cases are this new variant.
In response to the spread, Bloomberg's Michelle Cortez says countries are restricting travel to Southern Africa. The UK was among the first to do so, followed by Israel and Singapore. Germany is doing the same, and the EU is making plans to follow suit.
And Nathan, market reaction to the new variant dramatic this morning. S&P futures, they are down 1.75%. The Dow futures are down by 769 points. Let's get more from Bloomberg Markets reporter Christine Aquino.
The mantra of markets this morning is sell first and ask questions later. And we're really seeing that all across the asset classes, particularly in emerging markets, right? Because this particular asset class has really been battered this week by various things, geopolitical risk, risks related to central banks when it comes to Turkey and Mexico. And this was really the last thing that emerging market currencies needed.
Bloomberg's Christine Aquino says haven currencies benefiting mostly the yen and the Swiss franc. And stocks in Europe taking a beating with benchmark indexes down about 3%. We're also seeing big moves in treasury yields. A 10-year yield right now is down 11 basis points, pushing the yield to 1.52%.
Well, the move in oil is also dramatic, John. The new strain adding to concerns that were already swirling over demand thanks to rising COVID cases in Europe. Julian Lee is an oil strategist for Bloomberg News.
The rising COVID cases, particularly in Europe, that's going to restrict
demand both for transport fuels and probably also for some industrial fuels. We've seen worries about resurgence of cases in China with a big scaling back of domestic air travel. And as we get closer to the Winter Olympics early next year, there are expectations that, China's energy use will be pulled back in order to meet sort of clean air targets.
Bloomberg oil strategist Julian Lee says this latest concern comes as jet fuel demand was starting to recover. And checking prices once again on the NYMEX, West Texas Intermediate is down 6.3%, down $4.93 at $73.44 a barrel. Brent, the international benchmark, is down 5.3% at $77.83.
And amid all the market turmoil, U.S. consumers also in focus this morning. Yesterday was a banner day for online spending. It hit a record, but that doesn't tell the whole story. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
A record, yes. However, sales may not end up being as strong as initially forecast. An earlier estimate from Adobe Analytics had the upper range figure of $5.9 billion. The firm's revised call is for online spending of between $5.1 billion to $5.4 billion. That breaks down to a rate of at least $3.5 million per minute. Electronics and apparel were among the top categories. Many shoppers were forced online this year since many retailers closed their physical stores for the holiday. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Doug, thanks. Outside the pandemic and Black Friday, we have another item of note out of China this morning. Beijing is taking aim at another big tech company, asking DD Global to delist from U.S. exchanges. Bloomberg's Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Sources say the country's tech watchdog wants management to take the company off the New York Stock Exchange, and that's because of concerns about leakage of sensitive data. Proposals under consideration include a straight-up privatization or a share float in Hong Kong that would be followed by a delisting from the U.S. If the privatization proceeds, the proposal would likely be at least at the $14 IPO price. That's because a lower offer so soon after the IPO could prompt lawsuits or shareholder resistance. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Brian, thank you. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nate. 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. Giant balloons once again floated through Manhattan. High school and college marching bands from around the country were back, and so were the crowds at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. After being crimped by the coronavirus last year, the event returned in full yesterday, though with precautions. Parade staffers and volunteers had to be vaccinated against COVID-19, and most were required to wear masks. Police are looking for a suspect in the fatal stabbing of a man outside New York City's Penn Station last evening. The 36-year-old victim was apparently homeless and approached transit police with a stab wound to the chest. He was taken to Bellevue Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. A vendor working across the street says in the last few months, the area seemed to be getting safer.
The cops is like stay here 24/7. They take most of them away from here and they get arrested. But it was like really hot spot for drug dealers.
Police say the attack was the result of a dispute outside on the street. A New York City police officer is home from the hospital after being shot in what police describe as another encounter with an armed man in the Bronx. A second officer, wounded by the same gunman, remains hospitalized. New York Police Department officers and mayor-elect and former police captain Eric Adams lined up and applauded outside a Bronx medical center as Officer Alejandra Jacobs headed home yesterday. A power outage in Southern California put a damper on Thanksgiving for about 75,000 people. Southern California Edison says they were forced to cut power during strong Santa Ana winds because of the elevated fire risk from power lines and equipment being damaged. This Fontana resident says some of his fellow neighbors are still annoyed that they lost their power on a major holiday.
We had phone calls from some neighbors, and they're indicating that, you know, what are we going to do? We can't cook our birds. We can't, you know, we have no power, et cetera. So they're a little frustrated, to say the least.
Red flag warnings will remain in effect through much of today. A bipartisan group of five U.S. lawmakers have met with Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen during a surprise one-day visit intended to reaffirm the U.S. support for the self-governing island. House representatives landed in Taiwan last night. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 5:10 on Wall Street. Yeah, it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And good Friday morning, Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. A Thanksgiving football tripleheader yesterday began with the Lions almost coming away with their first win of the season. The Bears kicking a 28-yard field goal as time expired, winning the game 16-14. The Cowboys and Raiders went into overtime. Dallas would punt on their first possession, but the Raiders would march down the field, helped out by the fourth pass interference penalty of the game on the Cowboys, setting up Daniel Carlson from 29 yards out.
As both teams have so much on the line with one kick. Here we go, this time for real, and it is delivered. Good, the Raiders win it.
Jim Nantz with the call on CBS. The Raiders improve to 6-5, stay in the playoff hunt. The Cowboys fall to 7-4. In the nightcap, the Bills bouncing back from their loss last week. They blew out the Saints 31-6. Josh Allen threw four touchdowns. On Sunday, the Jets are at the Texans. Rookie Zach Wilson will be back under center after missing the last four games with a knee injury. The Giants will host the Eagles. Philly comes in winners of two straight. Hockey this afternoon, the Rangers are at the Bruins. Tonight, the Islanders host the Penguins. The Devils are at the Predators. Basketball, the Knicks host the Suns tonight. Phoenix coming in winners of 14 straight games. The Nets will host the Suns tomorrow night. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports.
All right, Scott, thanks a lot. And market update right now, Dow futures down 735 points. S&P futures this Friday morning are 78 points lower. The NASDAQ futures are down 178. Where's that money going? The usual safe havens, 10-year yield right now is down to 1.52% as there's a bid for treasuries. They're down right now 10 basis points. The Japanese yen is up 1%. This is Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg weather for today from Rob Carolyn. Showers ending this morning. Breezy, the high temperature 45 to 50 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high temperature 40 to 45. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager as we continue to watch a post-Thanksgiving sell-off spreading across global markets from stocks to commodities. Haven assets are rallying. This all comes with fears of a new coronavirus variant identified in South Africa, sparking fresh outbreaks and potentially scuttling a fragile economic recovery. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 81 points. That's a drop of 1.7%. Dow futures down 761 or 2.1%. NASDAQ futures are down 194. That is a decline of 1.2%. Germany's DAX is down 2.6% right now, while the CAC in Paris is down 3.25%. The FTSE in London down 2.6%. The 10-year Treasury down 1.0 seconds. The yield 1.52%. Yield on the 2 years 0.52. NYMEX crude is down 6.1%, down $4.80 at $73.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is higher by 1.4%, up $25.50 to $18.12.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1262 against the dollar. British pound 1.3308. The yen is at 114.07. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. A new variant of the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 has been identified in South Africa. Health officials say fears of a new strain could fuel outbreaks in many countries, straining health systems and potentially evade vaccines. A bipartisan group of five U.S. lawmakers have met with Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen during a surprise one-day visit intended to reaffirm the United States' support for the self-governing island. The visit comes as tensions between Taiwan and China have risen to their highest level in decades. In the NFL Thanksgiving feast, the turkey game, the Bills beat the Saints 31-6. In the dressing game, the Raiders beat the Cowboys in overtime 36-33. And in the Lima Beans game, the Bears beat the Lions on a game-winning field goal, 16-14. I hate lima beans. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right. Thank you, sir. I think. 520 on Wall Street. And we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. New coronavirus variant identified in South Africa may spark fresh outbreaks and scuttle the fragile economic recovery. Let's find out more about this variant from Dr. Sam Fazeli, senior pharmaceutical analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Sam, thank you very much for being with us this morning. We've had variants before. What do we know about this, and why would it be especially concerned?
Good morning, and thank you very much for having me on again. So the reason there is concern here is that there are just way higher number of, a lot more mutations in the spike protein of this variant compared to others. For example, the Delta variant had 10 mutations. The Alpha variant had 10 mutations. Beta had 10 mutations. This B11529 has 32 mutations. Now, that doesn't automatically mean that it's worse than the others. It's just that when you look at across this spike protein, you see that it's in all the areas that have previously been linked with the evasion of immune responses, antibodies. So that's why I think people are worried, although that has to be studied and we're waiting for results of that. It will take some time.
Just as a matter of explanation, the those proteins, that's what the what is attacked by the shots, by Pfizer, the Moderna shots, and the other vaccines,
exactly.
Right? That's what they target. So 32, when do we get data that would indicate whether or not the vaccines protect us against these variants?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the authorities across and scientists across the world have stocks of blood that was taken from vaccinated people that they can quickly test against this. But what you have to do is to create a virus that looks like this with its spike sequence or take this very virus. That will take time to transport, to grow up in the lab, et cetera. That will take time. So I'm in, I think that 2, 3, 4 weeks before we will know how well it evades the immune response from vaccines and prior immunity, and that's another critical aspect.
The people who've gotten sick from this mutation, how many are there? How quickly is it spreading? Are these people who've been previously vaccinated?
Yeah, so the numbers change, obviously, as the days go, as the day goes on. I think we'll hear a lot more about how many cases there actually are in South Africa right now. The briefing that the Department of Health from South Africa held last night suggests that 77 identified fully sequenced virus in the country. But there is a PCR test that is sensitive to this mutation, and apparently there are many more that are probably coming down the line than this 77. So the expectation is there will be in a very large percentage of current cases in South Africa.
Okay. Again, are these breakthrough? Do we know what the breakdown is of those that have been infected?
No, we don't. But there's two things to bear in mind here. One is that the vaccination recovery in South Africa is not very high. I can't remember exactly what number, but I think I heard 40-odd percent yesterday. And also they use the Johnson & Johnson vaccine a lot, which is a single shot. While it provided very good protection against severe disease, the potential for preventing infections is likely to wane faster, to be lower to start with and wane faster than the two-shot vaccines that we have. So that will be playing into this dynamic as and when we see the data.
We've heard about travel restrictions, but is it a given that this is going to spread?
It is not a given, but it is very likely that it's already left South Africa because the sequences can be found back to a week or two ago. It's possible that flights, already in the UK, we're seeing 3 flights land from South Africa today. So, and there's no quarantine requirements, etc. I'm sure the travelers will be careful, but I think it would be unlikely that it hasn't already left South Africa.
Okay, you mentioned, 32 mutations in this particular one. Can vaccines quickly be reconfigured to adapt to mutations like this?
I think the mRNA vaccines are the ones that are the fastest to adapt, but that still means it takes about 3 months, 100 days is the number that the both companies keep talking about, to get a product ready to be tested. And that then will probably need another 2 or 3 months of testing. So we are 6 months away. But I'm hopeful that the booster shots that people are, that some countries are rolling out today, will give us sufficient immunity to prevent infections and reduce the risk of infections and severe disease for a while at least. But that data, we need to see that data, as we've been saying. We need to see how evasive this virus is.
All right, Sam, thanks very much.
All right, John, thank you. We're coming up to 5:30 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager, along with John Tucker. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. As we've been telling you, global stocks are plunging in response to this new COVID strain. Treasury yields are tumbling. Oil is falling sharply with the new coronavirus variant identified in South Africa, and it has countries restricting travel to the region, including the U.K., Israel, Singapore, and Germany. We get more from Bloomberg Intelligence senior pharmaceutical analyst Sam Fazeli.
It's very possible that the variant has already got out, but by closing the doors, you do prevent a more rapid inflow, and I think that hopefully will give countries time to figure out what to do about protecting their populations.
Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Sam Fazeli says scientists are still learning about the new strain. They say it carries a high number of mutations in its spike protein. That's the same protein targeted by the vaccines.
And Nathan, market reaction to the news dramatic this morning. You have S&P futures right now down 1.7%, Dow futures lower by 737 points. And let's get more from Bloomberg Markets reporter Christine Aquino.
It's kind of the perfect storm of volumes being really thin, and then you get this big risk-off lurch in markets. I think it'll be interesting to see the open on Monday and see whether this continues, because that's really when we'll see a lot of the U.S. traders back in full force and really digesting all this news.
Bloomberg's Christine Aquino says haven currencies benefiting mostly the yen, the Swiss franc. Emerging market currencies, they are weakening. You have stocks in Europe taking a beating. Benchmark indexes down about 3%. We're also seeing big moves in treasury yields. The 10-year yield, the benchmark in the United States, right now is down 10 basis points. We're at 1.52%.
Well, amid all the market turmoil, John, U.S. consumers are in focus as well this morning. Yesterday was a banner day for online spending. It's forecast to hit a record, but it's also coming in lower than initial sky-high estimates. Adobe Analytics says consumers likely spent as much as $5.4 billion online for Thanksgiving Day.
And outside of the pandemic and Black Friday, we have another item of note this morning out of China. Beijing is taking aim at another big tech company, asking Didi Global to delist from U.S. exchanges. Sources say regulators have asked company management to remove Didi from the New York Stock Exchange on worries over security.
All right, let's take a look at these markets on this Black Friday. It's a sea of red for equities. S&P futures down 81 points. Dow futures down 763 now. NASDAQ futures down 187 points. The DAX in Germany down 2.7%. The CAC in Paris is down 3.3%. The 10-year Treasury is up 30 seconds. The yield 1.52%. Yield on the 2-year 0.53. NYMEX crude down 6 2/3%, down $5.21, $73.20 a barrel. The euro, 1.1277 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street, and time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. Black Friday shoppers are coming out in force, including here in the tri-state area. This man is taking advantage of Black Friday deals by being the first in line at a GameStop in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
It's definitely worth it. Now I'm going to sleep. I'm going to eat and then go to sleep.
Last year, the tradition was severely limited due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The crowds, floats, and marching bands were back in Manhattan for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Roll Tide! The University of Alabama Marching Band performed at this year's parade. It was once again an in-person event after last year's virtual event. An estimated 3 million people lined the streets to see the giant balloons, celebrity singers, and of course Santa Claus. The special event also returned on Thanksgiving in New York. The families of first responders who died in the line of duty gathered for a meal. The First Responder Children's Foundation threw its annual Thanksgiving Day Parade breakfast at Bryant Park Grill yesterday. A power outage on Thanksgiving put a damper on the holiday for about 75,000 people in Southern California. According to Southern California Edison, they were forced to cut power during the strong Santa Ana winds because of the elevated fire risk from power lines and equipment being damaged. However, this Fontana resident put it in perspective.
I suppose I'd rather have excess wind and less power than be burned out of my house and home. A minor inconvenience is nothing compared to losing my house.
Red flag warnings will remain in effect through much of today. Five U.S. lawmakers have met with Taiwan's president during a surprise one-day visit intended to reaffirm the United States' support for the self-governing island. The visit comes as tensions rise between Taiwan and China. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you very much. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time down for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. An NFL triple-header yesterday got kicked off with the Bears defeating the Lions 16-14 thanks to a Cairo Santos 28-yard field goal as time expired. The Lions remain winless on the season. The Cowboys and Raiders played into overtime, tied at 33. Dallas would punt on their first possession. The Raiders would march down the field, though, aided by the fourth pass interference penalty of the day on the Cowboys, setting up Daniel Carson from 29 yards out to win the game 36-33. In the nightcap, the Bills blew out the Saints 31-6. Josh Allen threw four touchdowns. On Sunday, the Jets are at the Texans. Rookie Zach Wilson will be back under center after missing the last four games with a knee injury. Wilson on returning from his injury.
I feel 100% confident in my ability to go out there and play football how I need to play football. You know, and that was kind of what I told the coaches is, you know, I feel like I can go out there and play my game and not worry about it.
The Giants will host the Eagles. Philly comes in winners of two straight. Hockey this afternoon, the Rangers are at the Bruins. Tonight, the Islanders host the Penguins. The Devils are at the Predators. Basketball, the Knicks host the Suns tonight. Phoenix coming in winners of 14 straight games. The Nets will host the Suns tomorrow night. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports.
All right, Scott, thanks a lot. Coming up on 5:37 on Wall Street, time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Ridership on New York City subways, buses, and commuter rail rose 10% in October. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority's acting chief executive told state lawmakers this week, the fact that New Yorkers are willing to return to mass transit for discretionary travel means they may use it again when it's time to go back to work in person. Specialty beer importer Euroboozer has announced a partnership with Brooklyn Brewery. They're bringing a selection of the brand's most wanted creations to the UK, including its Stonewall Inn IPA. It's the official beer of the Stonewall Inn pub in New York and its Stonewall Inn Gives Back initiative. The Jersey City Planning Board is set to approve its master plan Tuesday. It'll give guidance on a range of issues from detailed points of zoning law to big picture visions of the future of New Jersey's second largest city. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. And let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Deere is warning that its now settled strike will hurt farm equipment production into next year.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that the threat of a strike at a Cargill plant in Canada is rising after unionized workers rejected the latest wage offer.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the UK stopping flights from six southern African countries over worries about a new coronavirus variant.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the Michigan getaway capital of New Buffalo has voted to prohibit short-term rentals like Airbnb.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's now 5:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Few issues have generated more misguided legislation in this Congress than antitrust reform. Most recently, Senators Amy Klobuchar and Tom Cotton have introduced a bill that would effectively ban big tech companies from making acquisitions, on the theory that this would stimulate competition and better serve consumers. That theory is just plain wrong. Mergers and acquisitions are typically a spur to efficiency, not a barrier. They reward investors by taking a chance on promising startups, and they encourage the entrepreneurship and innovation that has made the U.S. venture capital market so strikingly successful. By banning mergers, the bill could destroy this ecosystem. If lawmakers think tech mergers require more scrutiny, they should give more funding to the Justice Department and FTC for that purpose. What they should not do is use antitrust law to destabilize one of the country's most successful industries. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal casters can read more at OPI and go. It is a sell-off in risk assets this morning around the globe. Dow futures right now, 794 points lower. That is a decline of 2.2%. S&P E-mini futures, 85 points higher. That's down 1.8%. The NASDAQ futures, down 192 points, a decline of 1.2%. We have 10-year yield right now down to 1.52% as there's a bid to Treasuries. That's down in yield by 10 basis points. Seeing a bid to the yen as well. That is up 1.2% against the U.S. dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather for this Black Friday, showers ending this morning. It'll be breezy, the high temperature 45 to 50 degrees. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny, the high temperature 40 to 45 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. This flash is brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/IMS. There is a global equity sell-off now with Haven Assets rallying amid fears of a new coronavirus variant identified in South Africa. We'll check the markets as we do every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, with S&P futures down 87 points, Dow futures down 828, NASDAQ futures down 195 points. The DAX in Germany is down 2.9%. The CAC in Paris is lower by 3.7%. The 10-year Treasury is up 30 seconds. The yield 1.53%. Yield on the 2-year 0.538%. NYMEX crude is now down 6.5%, down $5.14, $73.25 a barrel. COMEX gold is higher by 1.4%, up $25.30 at $18.12.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1279 against the dollar. The British pound is at 1.3316. The yen at 114.05. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much, sir. The UK will temporarily ban flights from South Africa and five neighboring countries over worries about a new, dramatically different COVID-19 variant recently identified in the region. Singapore today also moved to restrict travel from South Africa and nearby nations. Retailers are expected to usher in the unofficial start to the holiday shopping season, Black Friday, with bigger crowds than last year and a closer step toward normalcy. However, shortages of shipping containers and truckers have helped to delay deliveries while inflation continues to creep around. In the NFL Thanksgiving feast, the Bills beat the Saints 31-6. The Raiders beat the Cowboys in OT 36-33. The Bears beat the still winless Lions on a game-winning field goal 16-14. Yes, global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts
in more
than 120 countries. No, it won't. I'm Michael Barr. Come on, Lions, please. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. It is now 5:50 on Wall Street. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. I'm John Tucker, along with Nathan Hager this morning. with the World Health Organization, and scientists in South Africa are studying a recently identified variant of the coronavirus. It's been described as very different to previous versions and of serious concern. Let's tap into the knowledge of the experts this morning for guidance. Andy Pekosz, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, is joining us this morning. Professor, thank you so much. We appreciate it. What data do we have? What is it telling us about this variant?
Well, first, lots of credit to scientists across South Africa and Europe. Social media has often been criticized for spreading misinformation, but today is an example of how quickly we can spread a lot of good information about this new variant. What we know is just before Thanksgiving, some sequences appeared on our databases that showed a variant in South Africa that had a tremendously large number of mutations, much more than we would expect. Many of those mutations are in important parts of the viral genome that could affect vaccine efficacy, as well as the ability of this virus to enter cells efficiently. And then what happened yesterday is the South African public health group realized that a particular PCR test that they used could find this variant before we even get sequencing. And so if you use that as a surrogate for virus spread, this variant is now apparently one of the fastest spreading variants in certain provinces of South Africa. So lots of sequences that are of concern, coupled with spread in the population that is increased compared to other variants, is what's causing scientists to really be pay attention to this variant.
Now, this particular one, I think Sam Fazeli, our resident pharmacologist, told us it had 32 mutations in the spike proteins which the vaccines are targeting. So that is what, just to be clear, is what makes this especially problematic as compared to other variants with fewer mutations?
Absolutely. That's the first thing that jumps out. But it also has mutations that we know from the Alpha and the Delta variant help the virus infect cells faster. So there's a concern right now that this could be sort of that perfect storm of mutations that avoid immunity plus mutations that make the virus more transmissible, and therefore we could be sparking another wave. But I've got to emphasize that this is very early, and so we really need more data to make those final conclusions about this.
Hi, Dr. Pekosz. It's Nathan Hager. And to your point there, we're just hearing from a spokesman from the World Health Organization, sort of mirroring what you were saying, praising South Africa for identifying this variant so quickly. But when you have this many mutations to the spike protein, which is what the vaccines target, does this raise a concern that the current vaccines as formulated won't be effective against this new strain? And can the vaccines be reformulated to target it more effectively?
Well, to your first point, Nathan, there are parts of the spike protein that are still conserved and that are identical to the vaccine. So there shouldn't be a complete loss of antibody-mediated immunity to this variant. There are also other arms of the immune system called T cells that should be recognizing this variant as well. So the vaccine immunity won't be zero. It may be reduced, but it won't be zero. And I would emphasize now that this is still a great time for people to not only get vaccinated, but to also get their boosters if they need to, because the more immunity that they have, the better it'll be at cross-reacting there.
I think I heard South African health officials calling this variant a strain of concern for that country. And I guess we're going to hear from the World Health Organization either today or tomorrow on whether they're going to put that designation on more broadly. What do scientists look for? What are sort of the criteria when it comes to labeling a variant as a strain of concern? And what could that mean as far as the Delta variant, which is obviously the predominant strain around the world right now?
Well, the sequence is only one piece of the puzzle. We also have to combine that with epidemiological data, testing data, and sequencing data that demonstrate that this variant does one of two things. It either causes more severe disease, or it's spreading at a faster rate in the population than other variants. And those three things sort of together allow the WHO to move these variants to variants of concern. And so we're still waiting to hear more about the epidemiology and get harder numbers about that. And, of course, we know nothing yet about disease severity or whether infections are occurring in vaccinated people or as well as in unvaccinated people. So a lot of other information that needs to come through before we can truly assess this. But I've got to tell you, everything here looks like this will be called our next variant, in which case it'll be the Greek letter nu, N-U.
Okay, Andy, it's John again. What sort of guidance do you expect from WHO?
I think it'll be to put greater testing in place and to increase sequencing capacity, particularly in international travel hubs, because we want to make sure that we're catching this virus as soon as it's spreading out of the country. Sequencing is oftentimes a few days behind the testing, and so therefore we really don't have a good picture yet of how well this virus has been spreading. But it's going to be about testing, and it's going to be about sequencing to follow this variant to be able to limit its spread when it moves out of South Africa.
I know some of these are tough questions. I'm not sure if this is your area, but are we headed to more lockdowns?
I think it's way too early to say anything about that. But certainly, you know, it's a good reminder, though, that we're right now seeing a surge of cases without this variant in the country. So we're not out of the woods yet when it comes to dealing with COVID-19. Without this variant here in the country, we're already seeing surges in cases that are causing certain medical institutions to really be concerned about their capacity. So there's a lot about this pandemic that we still need to maintain control about and be wary about, not just the new variants.
Yeah, viruses mutate. It's their job. It's what they do, and there are trillions of viruses out there. Are we ever really going to be fully in the clear? I'm hoping we can end this on an optimistic note.
Absolutely, because there will be ways that we can prevent this. I forgot to answer Nathan's question about vaccine reformulations. Particularly the mRNA vaccines can be reformulated very, very quickly to be more specific and target variants that are really different from the vaccine formulation. So, and the antivirals, that'd be the next important thing that needs to be tested with these viruses to see if the antivirals work. So we have tools now that need to be applied effectively, and they may need to be fine-tuned to make sure that they match the emergence of really different new variants.
And on that note, we thank you for your expertise this morning. Great public service. Andy Pekos, Professor of Molecular Microbiology and Immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, risk-off today. Dow futures down 833 points. The S&P futures 88 points lower. The NASDAQ futures right now down 190 points. Money heading into treasuries, driving prices up, yields lower. The 10-year yield down 10 basis points right now at 1.52%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.